Good morning. In the beginning of the good book, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Emma Curtis Hopkins, this teacher that's known as the teacher of teachers, used to say that God was the soundless sound. And that beginning word was the sound that created the universe. So what I'd like to do with our meditation this morning is have each of us close our eyes and imagine that moment. And I'm going to share with you some of the wise words I've collected for this moment in time from different metaphysical teachers, from the Bible, from Emily Dickinson, a lot of folks. And I'll give you the citations maybe downstairs after the service so we can just concentrate on those words. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it is to be, it is up to me. I am a winner, not a whiner. A winner never whines, and a whiner never wins. To give is to live, and to live is to give. Action without vision is only passing time. Vision without action is merely daydreaming. But vision with action can change the world. Hope. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. I am the sole authority in and to my world. I am the sole authority in and to my world. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Have patience with all things. but chiefly have patience with yourself. Every day begin the task anew. Everything that is outside is first inside. Everything that is outside is first inside. We are where we are because of what we are. And we are what we are because of what we're thinking. Where your attention goes, your consciousness follows. Where your attention goes, your consciousness follows. I live in the consciousness of my own being. I live in the consciousness of my own being. The greatest quality of consciousness is clear knowing. Clear knowing. Then the infinite is knowing itself in you, as you, correctly. Life is the visibility of the creative mind of the universe. Life, the visibility of the creative mind of the universe. At the center of the circle of the will of God, I stand. At the center of the circle of the will of God, I stand. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think about these things. And so it is.
Wherever
almost ready to ask for an encore on that. Beautiful. Thanks so much. It's a real pleasure to be here today and to share some thoughts about my favorite subject, God. God has not always been my favorite subject. Growing up in Colorado, Tennessee, Missouri, Mississippi, Ohio, Pennsylvania, I had other favorite subjects. Riding my bike, climbing trees, racing my friends, reading Hardy Boy books, Superboy comics, drinking Cherry Cokes. As I got a bit older, I got to know more about my family and really wanted to be with them a little bit more. Hanging with Mom, going fishing with Grandpa, hanging out with my uncles, letting them tell stories about Dad. Growing up in the 50s and the 60s, it was glorious, glorious time. But then, out of nowhere, a real surprise came to me. I became a teenager. Whoa. Who was that masked boy trying to be a masked man? Why was I thinking Mom was not so smart anymore? Why was I thinking Dad was not always right? Why was I coming from a place of having to be right all the time? Where did this "I know more than you do" come from? Basically, at what point did I become such a jerk? Well, now that I think about it, nobody ever told me that I was a child of God expressing. Nobody ever told me that I was created by perfection to express perfection. Nobody ever held me up to the mirror and said, "See, Jimmy, this is God in the mirror. You are God expressing. God has given you everything you need to be the best Jimmy that you can be." Nobody ever told me how to take a spiritual selfie until one day on a mountaintop in Bend, Oregon, laying in a tree well on Mount Bachelor after breaking both my legs, snow skiing into a couple of mountain hemlocks, I got to really talk with God for the very first time. For the very first time, God was real. God was not out there. God was in there, in me. The white light, the tunnel, the whole experience we see or hear about on television or in support groups or read about in books. I was talking with God, not just to him, with him. In that tree well, below the sight line of any skiers, I never have felt such comfort or peace like I did at that moment. Laying in a tree well out of view of any skiers or ski patrol, talking with God. I looked around after a little bit and noticed my left foot and my left leg were at a 90-degree angle across my chest. Well, that doesn't look right. But it is right, right over there. Then it dawned on me, rather swiftly, that I might need to get some help. I might need to talk to someone about the rearranged body of mine that I was looking at. While I didn't feel any pain, my brain was starting to get a little suspicious. With two ski poles still gripped in my hands, I thought I might need to toss one up in the air, hoping it would stick vertically to alert somebody that the voice they heard was below that pole. Well, I missed on that first attempt. I had one more shot at it, 50-50, voila! It stuck vertically. Thank you, God. Now what? Before long, after many repetitious Lord prayers and a few loud curse words, a skier showed up with some verbal support. Oh my God! Funny, I was thinking the same thing. That event took place January 15th, 1980. The significance of that event grew as I was laying in traction at St. Charles Hospital in Bend, Oregon, talking to the emergency room doctor who had operated on me that day Dr. Michael T. Mahoney, the main bone repair guy for an excellent group of Northwest orthopedic surgeons, told me I should be up and out of St. Charles, which became affectionately known as St. Chuck's after you're there a few days, in about 7 or 8 weeks. Huh? 7 or 8 weeks in a hospital bed? That ain't happening. What have I had to do to get out of here, Doc? Well, enter the next day, a friend of mine named Peter, who suggested that while I was lying horizontally in my traction in the hospital bed, that I use my mind to expedite the healing process. Are you nuts? I'm not doing that Silva mind control that my cousin does. I'm going to get a headache. She's got a headache all the time from doing that stuff. So my friend Peter says, no. When I was in the hospital in Vermont, I broke my hip, snow skiing, my left hip. And he said, I put together a bone repair crew. These guys were dressed in white uniforms with white brushes. He drove down from my brain in a clean white truck, just like the old milkman trucks, all the way down to my left hip. Then they got out of the truck, started working on my left hip, polishing away, fixing and polishing and fixing and polishing and fixing and polishing. So I'm sitting there in traction, looking at the ceiling. So what else can a guy do on morphine and Tylenol with codeine but imagine white uniformed men fixing your femur all day? 7 days later, 7 days later, I'm out of traction and I'm in therapy trying to walk again. 11 days later, I was home in a wheelchair, enjoying my Basset Hound Norton in my own bed, thanks to a wonderful group of caregivers, a truckload of white uniformed femur polishers that I never met, and the one mind that changed the whole program and choreographed the entire healing. Now, my doctor, Dr. Mahoney, asked me after I was discharged, or right before I was discharged, if I would give him permission to show my x-rays to an audience that he was going to be presenting a seminar about orthopedic surgery. Sure, Doc, what do you want to show my x-rays for? He says, because yours is the most incredible recovery I've ever seen. What was supposed to take 7 or 8 weeks took 18 days. So from that January 1980 moment until this very moment, I haven't stopped reading, studying, praying, and learning about the creative mind. That day in 1980, God and I planted a seed on that cold January morning, a seed of faith, a seed of hope, a seed of love, a seed of understanding that there's a lot more going on in life than Hardy Boy books and Cherry Cokes. Son of a gun, Jesus was right again. It is done unto us as we believe. It is cause and effect. It is goodness and mercy. It is grace. It is wholeness. It is completeness. And the beauty of the principle of the law of attraction, or the law of mental equivalence, or the law of correspondences, or whatever you choose to call the it, the capital IT, the as and the belief are ever changing. They're ever evolving, ever growing, ever knowing. It is done unto us as we believe. And the more we believe what we believe, the more that we understand what and why we believe, and the better we are at being who and what we already are. The as is our conviction. The as responds to the intensity of our belief. The more we believe, the more we discover. The more we discover, the more we know. The more we know, the more we believe. Metaphysical recycling at its finest. So how do you start your day? You start your day with email and coffee, TV and coffee, kids getting ready for school and coffee, or variations on a theme. However you do, what you do is your choice. Thank you, God. Freedom of choice. Freedom of thought. Freedom of being. Anytime I feel confused about who and what I am, and I do this because I watch the news, I answer the phone, I misread people, and on occasion I will worry like a deer with a six-pack of does, I stop to pray. A spiritual mind treatment of affirmative prayer, it gets my mind right, like in Cool Hand Luke. Luke, you got to get your mind right. Well, that's what I do throughout the day. Keep getting my mind right. And if I don't stop to pray, I really pay. I mean, I really pay. More confusion, more externally driven causes. And the beauty of unity and new thought for me the last 37 years is that I've learned we're all on the inside-out business, not the outside-in business. Let everyone else do that. That's the easy way. The easy way is to let our emotions drive the bus so that the thoughts that ride on the bus of our emotions get bigger and worser. Now, worser may not be a word, but it sounds good right now. Passengers like fear, worry, greed, anger, rage, doubt, anxiety, condemnation, judgment. Kick them off the bus. Be done with them. Let them find their own transfer. Every time we doubt, you know what we're doing? We're really insulting the essence of ourselves. Every time we worry, we're going backwards. Every time we say, I can't, we're off track and we're in a ditch. Life is an adventure in self-discovery that never ends. It has to be. God gave us eternity. But it is up to each of us to make use of it. My grandpa Freeman, known in the Ozarks of Missouri as the preaching engineer because he engineered on the Frisco Railroad 6 days a week, and then he preached in Lapanna, Arkansas at the First Baptist Church on Sundays. He used to preach his sermon to the rounders, the boys on the railroad, called Life's Railway to Heaven. And he used biblical metaphors about the engineer and the brakeman and the conductor and all the folks that were the well-knit group that put together the efficient and fine-running train that the Frisco was back then. But then when Grandpa would speak at the baccalaureate addresses and the junior high services for graduation, he changed his message for that audience. Life's three greatest achievements. I wonder if Grandpa knew how many seeds he planted in the minds of those kids in southern Missouri when he spoke of life's three greatest achievements. And of course, he had biblical scriptures to support all these. But number one, know thyself. Number two, control thyself. Number three, give thyself. Until we know and until we believe who we really are, until we know and believe that we are individuals, each and every one of us, created by God, to express God in our own unique, individualized, God-given way, what's the point? Impress our boss? Impress our mate? Put another car in the driveway? When we know we are God expressing, and that our expression is ever-evolving and ever-growing, controlling who we are is a logical desire. I remember the key change in the 80s, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, WWJC, what would Jesus choose? WWJT, what would Jesus think? Let's get back to the thought that precedes the doing. When Myrtle and Charles Fillmore and the lineage of outstanding Unity teachers speak of let go, let God, are they not talking about controlling thyself? Surrendering one's concerns to the almighty, universal, divine intelligence does not mean sitting around doing nothing. After we've surrendered our woes to the absolute, the omniscient, the omnipotent, and the omnipresent allness, action is involved. Let go, let God means that we are remembering and accepting and acknowledging the isness of our allness. We're being the beingness that we were created to be. We act on our faith. We act on our knowing. We achieve life's third greatest achievement. Give thyself. If the God in me is going to see the God in you and not judge and not criticize and not condemn, I better control myself as I give myself to the moment, to the experience, to the adventure. Adventures with God, every moment, every day. I did an interview with a sculptor on Whidbey Island named Ken Hasrick, and he was told he had a few months to live, and he's up at the carriage facility with the other folks that had been told they had a few months to live. And I'm supposed to interview him for an uplifting article in the Arts Council magazine, so I'm sitting there with Ken. Ken, what are you doing in here? It's the adventure, Jim. It's the adventure. I'm going, wow, this guy feels it. Why don't I feel it? Preparing for today's message, I could not stop thinking about Marshall, my metaphysical cowboy poet pal, who inspired me and many of us in this sacred space to be who we are. Marshall told me years ago over a campfire at the beach, you know, Jim, you got to be who you are because everybody else is taken. At least it sounded like Marshall. There was so much smoke around. I don't know if it was or not. So here I am sitting in my 1928 Milwaukee Road caboose a few weeks ago, and I said, Marshall, what do I talk about in that 1910 building where Terry does her metaphysical magic on the piano every Sunday? And I hear, I mean, just as clear as you can hear me right now, write a poem. Okay, Marshall, here we go. So this poem, inspired by Marshall's prompt, is entitled, Rise Up. Another day with God, thank God I've got. What shall we do? What fun to plot. Acts of kindness, random or not, another day with God, thank God I've got. Beauty is in the mind of the beholder. Thank you, God, I'm another day older. A day to grow, a day to be. Thank you, God, for making me. The God expression that I am. The God expression that I'll be. Another day with God. Being God. As you and me. Psalm 118:24, which just happens to be on page 2 of the March newsletter here at Everett Unity, right on the same page with Jacqueline's article. Don't forget to read it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, tonight on the Oscars, if you happen to watch it, one out of every five people nominated will be rejoicing. If you need to identify with what it looks like. The other four will just be joicing. Hamlet said the question was whether to be or not to be. Well, that's no question for us, because It's like everything else. It's all about consciousness. We are. We be. And how wonderful it is to be who we are. One of my favorite metaphysical teachers, Dr. Tom Johnson. I used to see him speak in Woodland Hills, California, when I was in that area. He was a student of Raymond Charles Barker, who was a unity minister way, way back, and also a religious science minister. The Fillmores and Barker and Johnson were all students of Emma Curtis Hopkins, who I mentioned earlier, the teacher of teachers, who also worked for Mary Baker Eddy as her assistant. And she taught leaders that evolved into the divine science, religious science, Christian science, unity. So Dr. Johnson wrote a book in 1978 entitled Heaven is an Action, Not a Place, a little booklet. And before we finish up, I want to share some of his prose with you because it's powerful stuff written by a very powerful man. Heaven is not a place, it is a state of mind. Heaven is the exciting experience of self-discovery, the experience of living out of a consciousness that is free, rich, and full. It is a consciousness that is free of yesterday and tomorrow. It is right here and right now. This sentence I love. Heaven is right smack in the middle of now and making the most of it. Right smack in the middle of now. Heaven is the exciting experience of being ourselves and living out of our own self-reliance, out of our own power and our own access to the universal intelligence. It is what we do that proves what we believe. We can say we believe in God, but if we do not live the presence of God, and if we do not know that our good already is, we're clearly saying that our words are hollow and empty. We've all known people who talk big about what they're going to do, but they never do it. They don't do it because they get it out of their systems by all the talk. We should never talk about what we're going to do. Instead, we should keep our mouths shut and be doing what we need to do. The action proves that we're serious. Our choices point the way, but it is what we do that really tells mind what our intentions are. When we discover that God lives within what we are now doing and the way we are doing it, we can experience God no matter where we are and where we go. So back to the St. Charles Hospital, broken legs and traction. Peter's brother Don was a photographer, so he brings in one day all the family pictures, sets them on my broken legs, says, here, look at these while you're sitting there wondering what to do. So I got some paper and a pencil from one of the nurses and started writing poems on what I felt on morphine and Tylenol with codeine to looking at the pictures. Well, son of a gun, by the end of 18 days, I'd written a poetry book. And so we had all these pictures. Well, of course, now Don's got pictures. I've got the poems. Let's do a book. But we didn't have any money. Enter our parents. Mom, Dad. So Dad loans me half the money. Don's mom loans him half the money. Now I figure, well, it's my responsibility to my dad to show him what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So I'm sending him a poem every 2-3 days with a picture. Finally, I get the phone call. Son, don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you did. Whoa. Okay. Fast forward a few years, and I decide I want to be a religious science practitioner. I've studied and studied and studied, and I'm going to take all the classes. I'm online. I'm in the first online class. 7 years later, I get my diploma. I got my cap and gown. I'm standing there, the only guy with all the girl graduates. Not a bad deal. I took the picture and sent it to my family. What's this? I'm a religious science practitioner. I've been studying for 7 years. They didn't even know what it meant, but I showed them what I did. I didn't tell them I was going to do it. And you know, it made such a difference. It made such a difference. So I got to thank Dad for that little bit of wisdom, and little did I know he was being metaphysical at the moment. Each one of us has a purpose, a reason for being, and when we find that purpose and are about fulfilling it, you know what? We're healthy, we're happy, we're wealthy, we're successful, we're alive. Heaven is an action, not a place. You and I will never die. We are the activity of our own consciousness forever and ever unfolding. And always, everything that happens to us is but an opportunity to grow, to learn a great lesson that moves us forward into the discovery of our limitless potential. So where are we? Thank God we're right where we are. We're richly blessed. We're richly gifted. We are rich in, by, for, and with God, co-creators, creating creation. We are the knowers. We are the knowing. We are the known. Thank you, God. Let us pray. There is but one power, and that power is God. God is life, wisdom, energy, completeness, and perfection. Each of us is God's means to reveal itself, and so at all times we express and reveal the allness of God. Each of us believes in ourself, and we take this belief and put it into action without fear, without hesitation, without any doubt. Each of us believes in our ability to achieve, to accomplish, and to succeed. Each of us acts as it is so, and it is indeed so. Each of us knows all that we need to know as we need to know it. Today, each of us moves out into the world with the authority of this idea in action, and mind creates accordingly. Let us go out into the God-blessed activities of this day and each express the beingness that we already are. Another day with God. We thank Thee, Father, Mother, God, as we release the words of this treatment to the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is done, and it is so, and so it is. Amen.